Very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 19th of June 2018, Tuesday. So we are having our puja now. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādemi. Svakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall chant the bandana onwards. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Musavada viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Surāmeraya majjhapamādatthana viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Now we are chanting the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yutena Dukpenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena mattena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Tiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that strive on the heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transmerged to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple jam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. Yeah. Okay, we are off the line. Yeah. those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. For those who still need to train their mind, you can go ahead. Okay. Just relax body and mind, completely relax. Then silent everything. Then maintain mindfulness, that's it. Unless you are really new, then you need to do the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking mind. Then you can do. Then if you want to combine with metta to bring about inner well-being, apart from the inner peace that you have developed, the inner well-being can also be useful. So you do it. If you already stabilized, you don't have to develop them further, then you can straight away silent and just meditate. Then if your anapanasati is already stable, just continue to relax into it silent until the anapanasati becomes so stable and so clear, until you are most of the time developing the stability of the mindfulness of the in and out breath, which we call anapanasati. Then you will go through all the stages of anapanasati, starting with the experiencing of PT, born of mindfulness. Then as you relax into it and silent, you will experience the long breath. Then this PT will become more and more refined. You will experience what they call sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. Piti is just a spiritual calmness, spiritual zeal, spiritual rapture. The mind has become very, very calm, very peaceful, and you feel very good. They call it piti. Then after that, it becomes more refined. Then you experience sukhang, which is a type of bliss, very nice feeling. The mind becomes very blissful. You can experience them. Then you continue to relax and allow the mindfulness to be. The silence will develop until the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful. Then the breathing like slow down until like no more breathing. They call it the silent mind. You will experience the silent mind. This silent mind is the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. The mind that is in sati. We call it pasati. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then you continue to relax into it and just maintain awareness, until this silence and this stillness become very stable. Until the calm become very stable. Then not long, your mind will enter sati. That is the state that you need to train. Then after that, you can be mindful in the midst of life, because the mind that is in sati is all the time in sati. But this mind, you have to develop the stability of it, so that most of the time you are just aware, relaxed, mindful, and with the moment. Then you can anchor this awareness to anything within your kaya. It can be with your silent mind, the mind that has little or no breathing. Then even after a while, when you are able to stabilize it, the subtle breathing will come back to you, because your mind that is in sati is very sensitive. It can feel many things, it can experience many things, it can understand many things. That's why the silent mind is the meditative mind. So you need to train until this mind arises, then use it to meditate. Initially, you can be in the sitting posture. Then later on, you can try the lying down posture. You can just relax and silent. Let it stabilize. Then later on, your breath will also become very subtle until it's so still. Yeah. Then you can bring your awareness down to your heart area. When you have that stability of mindfulness, you can feel many things. Your mind becomes very sensitive. Whatever vibration or heartbeat around your heart area, you can feel them. Then when you feel them, you just silence everything as be with it. Allow it to be. Allow the vibration and the awareness to move as one. You continue to relax and silence. The breathing, everything will become very quiet, very still. Even the heartbeat will slow down until very still. Then finally you will experience a type of stillness. No more movement, nothing. Everything is just silent. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then after that 30 minutes is up, the bell will go off. The alarm will go off, then I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Tadanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Rupaja. Bedang pujayami. Damang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. So tonight we we can have a special sitting arrangement. We make a circle facing each other so that we can discuss the topic karma in a better way. On the like, so you all want to sit in what manner? You can form the circle starting from here. You want to then maybe two ring or what? It's up to you. I can bring my thing cushion over here. So you want. Never mind. I will sit somewhere here. Okay. This one is the portable mic. You all can use it. Whoever want the mic, just leave your hand. Hey, some of you can sit here. Come. This one is for Padmasri. For those who didn't attend the last Tuesday, you may not know what is happening. So what we want to do is we want to have an informal sharing. Because this topic about karma is a very interesting topic. This is a topic where we can discuss and share in a very nice manner. Not only you learn about the teaching, you also learn to express your whatever understanding and your doubt. Because karma can have a lot of variation in understanding. That's why the Buddha mentioned very clearly that karma is the most difficult subject to comprehend. So the Buddha did indicate unless you are the Sammasambuddha, or one of the great beings that have cultivated for very long, it's not easy to understand this topic of karma. And karma is just one of the five nature's order that governs life and existence. That's why as we go through the sharing, we will come across many things. A lot of people also ask the question, is everything due to karma? And the Buddha specifically explained, no, not everything is due to karma. Well, karma is only limited to one of the five pancha niyamas, five great universal order of nature that governs life and existence. So, law of karma is regarding the moral causation, means it involves mental intention. Everything involving mental intention will be connected to the law of karma. So that aspect is very important. But even though not everything is due to karma, but human life or living beings' life, they are very strongly connected to karma, because according to the Buddha, it's very comprehensive. When it comes to moral causation, that law itself, in fact, 90% or almost 100% is karmically driven. That's why he said, all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. Then, when we look at the world as it is today, or even when we are young, then as we grow up, we develop new understanding and different understanding. At every stages of life, as human being evolve and humanity evolve, civilization evolve, we come to understand the world differently. Then more and more questions arise. what is it that actually caused all this inequality in this world of ours? Inequality is a very, very, very strong indicator of life and existence within our world, our civilization. We can see human beings are not born equal. That as you go through life, you witness them. Then, not only within your own vicinity of your birthplace or your own country. As you understand more and more about science, geography, and more of the universe, or even our planet Earth, we can see human being itself is so different. Some are born wealthy, some are born really poor, and some are born healthy, some are very sick, then some are handsome, some are ugly, some are violent, some are very compassionate, very kind, and all those things. Then some are very cruel. Then also we see a lot of inequality in many aspects of life. The caste system and all those things. Then we went to, I think, some discussion last Tuesday. Many of us share. So today maybe we will leave it to some who have not shared. Anybody who wants to share, you just put up your hand. Anybody? With regards to how you view karma, how you understand karma, then you can also share since birth until now what you have gone through. Are you able to develop a clear understanding of karma? Or you have some other maybe beliefs or other type of understanding behind? Just like PG, when she started off by telling us that word karma is like taboo to her when she was young. The moment she heard that word, she wants to run away from the class. She don't like to listen because she don't like this word karma. But later on, as she developed the understanding, she realized karma is so powerful. So different. The way karma is being taught by the Buddha, it has deep significance. So basically, this is the summary of what we intend to do and what we did last Tuesday. Okay, now we can start. Anybody want to start? Pass the mic to Fong. How you view karma based on what you have gone through and understand, and your understanding. Yes.
Basically, I have more questions actually about karma.
That is the best. You have more questions is the right inquiry.
So
otherwise,
basically, Brother Teo mentioned earlier that according to the Buddha, karma is very much linked to intention. So what actually
mental intention?
Yes, I'm still thinking about it. What about those activity that doesn't involve intention?
Yes.
For example, when we walk, and then we step on the ant, and the ant dies. So there's no intention.
Yes.
But the insects die.
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
So how
do you view it from the point of karma?
And also, like there are other.
It's all explained in the later part of the book, but don't worry, we can discuss them first.
And also, I have observed cases of indirect karma. For example, like Kota say, if you have a parents who have done tremendous good deeds to the country, and then if you so happen to be born as his child, after 30 years, because of the condition arising as a child, somehow you inherit a lot of good karma from the parent. Even though as a child, you have not done anything.
Yes.
But because you, of the condition arising, So you seem to inherit a lot of good merits that overflow.
Most of the time is that way, but not necessary. Because it depends on how the child comes. If the child comes because of karmic debt, then it's a totally different thing. So if the child comes because of Dhamma affinity, and then you will learn a lot of things.
So my question that puzzled me is, how does the teaching of a Buddha explain such
all this?
Indirect karma.
Even direct and indirect, and also what we call hereditary and other things, they are all connected to this law. See, hereditary is something that we think because we inherit from our parents, because of DNA and other things. So I will deal with that one first. So those who study biology, you will know DNA. But DNA, how many of you are bio student? None. Relative is bio student. You study until form 5 only. Oh, form 6. Oh, that's very good. It means he knows quite a bit about heredity, DNA and other things. You see, this DNA heredity, according to the genetic theory, is not necessary. Father, mother give birth, then you have the same DNA, then everyone is the same. No. It depends on which is more dominant. I think the word is dominant. And sometimes, even if hereditary, it's not necessary every child will get that thing. Understand? Hereditary means many things, but what we all normally take to mean is all the disease and other things, like type 2 diabetic hereditary. It means you get it from your parent. It's not of your choice. Then sometimes it's certain type of heredity, type of illness or sickness or condition that is passed down to you through the DNA. So all this coding that come is also part of karma. Understand not? Your DNA coding. But it's not necessary that every child of that parent will have the same type of genetic thing. Most of the common genetic genes are there, but certain type of, they call it the dominant genetic gene, they sometimes, like, after a few, then only that one appear. Then after that, one or two generation later, then it appear again. The other one, common one, is called what they call, what is the English word? My family got that one. The one that sometimes your father and the parents, if both also have what's thymia? Thalassemia. Is it thalassemia? Thalassemia. If both parents have, the chance is very high now. It's 50%, you know that. And that type of disorder is very severe one. The child hardly survive one. Blood disorder, then you need blood transfusion, you need the gusui and all those things. If really. I also thalassemic. But my wife is not thalassemic, so no problem. But if both are thalassemic, you better check. Understand that you want to have children. I got an elder brother. The son is thalassemic. Then she married the wife, also thalassemic, but didn't know. Later only know. Then panic. But they were so lucky. They got 3 children, all normal. Very lucky. Because 1 in 2, you know, the chance is very high. 1 in 2. So this is what hereditary is all about. But it doesn't mean, because my elder brother used to say this joke to his classmate and his friend. Because after my father passed away, my father passed away at the age of 80. So they thought my brother, eldest son, would have inherited most of the thing, isn't it? Because normally they say give to the eldest son, 长子. So instead of denying, he said, yeah, I inherited almost everything my father has. Then he said, wow, you must be very lucky. How much was it? He said, money-wise, you cannot count on. He said, I inherited his high blood pressure. He's diabetic. He's all those things that is related to his health. One. And this one, money cannot count. If you really didn't take care, you have to pay for it. So it depends on what you inherit. So normally people look at inheritance as something positive, but not necessary when it comes to hereditary. You know. So karma is like that. Later on, I will read through and share with you if we have time. Because this was based on a question by one of the people during the time of the Buddha. This person, I think his name is, I forgot the name already. Was it Subha? Subha, yes. He said, the cause of inequality. Perplexed by seemingly inexplicit apparent disparity that exists among humanity, a young seeker of the truth named Subha approached the Buddha and questioned him regarding all this. So what Brother Fong has shared with us is very good. That's why he said he got a lot of questions, which is very good. Then we will discuss it, we will go through it. So this Subha said, what is the reason, Lord Buddha, for the cause of all this inequality that we find among mankind? There are some who are born short life, apayuka, and some long life, digayuka. There's some disease and some healthy. Then some ugly and some beautiful. Some powerless and some powerful. Some very poor, some very wealthy, very rich. Some are born of low class and some are born of high birth or high class. Then some born ignorant, deluded, stupid. Then some born very intelligent, very clever, very wise. So these are the questions that he asked the Buddha. Then the Buddha actually replied very well. We will go through later so that you can develop more understanding. But what I am trying to explain to you is the general perspective of karma. It involves a lot of things. That's why if you do all those things that the Buddha mentioned, then it will condition certain type of karmic inheritance that you will receive in future birth when there is condition for it to arise. Then the other thing about karma is, apart from your past deed, because your past deed will condition that birth, but the birth is not for you to decide. The law of karma decides. But the law of karma is very unique because it doesn't involve only one living being or 100 or 10 or million living beings. It counts billions and billions of living beings in various realms of existence. And karma is very powerful, very, very powerful. You all may not know. But if you cultivate, later you will know. Sometimes, because of karma, the competition for certain type of DNA and birth, it can be like what we observe on this world, our planet. You want to be a world champion, like badminton or table tennis or whatever games, even tennis and all those things. It's not easy, right? They can, at any one time, one tournament, there can only be one. So a lot of people will try and fail. Yeah. So it's like you are fighting to be that world champion, but the one that is most compatible, most skillful, and has all the ingredients to be the world champion will be the world champion. Then sometimes it's not just that, other things also count. That day when you play in the actual game, it's not only how good you are, you are sick that day, you are not fit, you also will lose. Then if that day or that competition or that tournament, if you meet people who are better than you, you will also lose. Then there is a lot of things. Sometimes the wind, sometimes the condition there, the crowd, home crowd or whatever. So many things can influence, understand? So all these are just examples to show you. Then when there is a condition for certain type of birth, and this law of karma, you know how powerful it is or not. At any one time, you got no time to think or not. Well, spontaneously, all this karma is taking place, understand not? Infinite numbers. Yeah. And it never go wrong. It never go wrong. It cannot make mistake. Sometimes computer can have glitches. This one never go wrong. Yeah. Completely perfect. And this one don't need a creator or person to administer one. This one is nature's law. Very powerful. Then certain thing that happen, it depends on your karmic nature. I call it the karmic nature. Karmic nature means every one of us, as you know, you are born since the first thought of ignorance over the eons and eons of birth and death. The summation of every of this life's mental intention that you arise, they will form your karmic nature. And that nature, every living being has. So this karmic nature, we call it the uniqueness of that karmic nature. If you are a true cultivator, especially spiritually, if you are a real cultivator, then you will have a great spiritual nature that will support your karmic nature. Because for you to have good karmic nature, you must have great spiritual nature. Yeah. Or when your karmic nature become beautiful, means you have the Dhamma, you understand the Dhamma, your spiritual nature will also evolve. So when your spiritual nature and karmic nature is very powerful, you can cause things to arise. You understand that? And then you don't have so many competitors. Understand that? Yeah. Like the example I used to give you all, let's say in a government, you are the prime minister of that country, what happened? You have power to decide on what the country's direction is and all those things, isn't it? Correct? You have that authority, isn't it? But, of course, now we know, Mahathir say, rule of law. Your power is limited by what? Yeah? By the constitution, isn't it? The constitution governs. So, in the constitution, there is separation of duty. What are they? The government is the executive, understand? Executive means like CEO or the one that runs the company and runs the country. Then all these CEO are subject to what? Company law, understand? So we call it the legislative. You understand? Eh? So the legislative governs the conduct of the executive. You understand? Yeah? Then the third separation of power is what? The judiciary, the one that has to decide which part of the law are you in. Are you on the right side or the wrong side? So the judiciary also needs his independence. But when you have a government that compromises everything, the executive is also the judiciary, and the executive is also the decision of what legislation is supposed to be. And then you have havoc. There is no separation of power. So what I am trying to share with you is, when you have this, what they call nature's law that governs all this, it's just like the constitution governs the PM. Understand? So if let's say you are a great being, you are a higher being, it's like you are prime minister of a country. Yeah? Then below the prime minister, you have, of course, the ministers and all those things, the king, yeah? Then the rulers or the sultan. Then each and every of these, respectively, they control their own ministry, yeah? Or their own state and all. So they have certain say in certain things. Then it comes down to the, maybe, deputy minister, head of departments and all those things. Then you also have what they call lower down, the pengulu and all those things. Yeah? Or village headsman and all those things. So the lowest one is, of course, your own house, huh? Your own household, your family. Of course, your father or your grandfather or your grandmother will be the head. Then, if you have your own family, then you will be the head. Then you can decide whatever you want as a head. But your power is limited, understand? You can only decide what is in your family. Sometimes your children also don't allow you to decide anymore. Because when you lose that authority and power, you also cannot decide. And that's how all these variations come in. So, what you should understand is, when you can cause things to arise, means you have a karmic nature that is more powerful than others. Then, like the prime minister can do more things, can shape the nation, the policy of the country and all those things. But as an individual within Malaysia, as a normal citizen, we can't do much, isn't it? You can complain, you can voice, you can put through the social media. People can just ignore you, understand? So once you have better karmic nature, you don't have to compete with so many people. That's why the whole 30 over million, we can only have one prime minister at any one time. Do you understand? So it's not easy to have that type of nature. Then when you're president of the United States, like Trump, you can create havoc, trade war, all those things. Now there is havoc all over. So all this is what similarly karma is all about. When your nature is different, that's why you have to cultivate, you have to build it out. Then it can cause things to arise. Then you can plan your life. You can decide how life is going to be. Then when you are born, every life you come, the DNA, the coding, the format mind, they will all be beautiful. You will have all the good understanding that enable you to have a very complete, beautiful combination of all this. Yeah. So karma is basically understanding, wisdom. Without wisdom, without understanding, karma become the way it is. You don't have much choice. So what I'm trying to explain is a lot of things the law of karma already decide. So if there are so many people fighting for the same type of DNA birth, the possibility of those getting it, you must be the selected one, understand? That's why those born genius and all those things, wealthy, you know, not many, understand? How many can be like Bill Gates, Ananda, Pindaka, and all those things? Usually in one world system, there's only one or two or a handful. Yeah. So these are the bigger picture that you can relate to as far as knowledge is concerned, science, technology, Dhamma, understanding and all those things. It will allow you to have this type of understanding. Yeah. Then whatever DNA coding, like I explained just now, is not necessary directly hit. That's why karma has its place. Like I explained, my family got 10 brothers and... nine brothers and sisters. Give away one. Everyone is different. All those same parents, born from the same locality, with the same influence and condition. But why is it everybody is different? Feature-wise, maybe quite a bit of similarity. Then, certain type of inherited type of disease, like type 2 diabetic, is common among most of us. But some are very tall, some are very short, even within the same family. Some have a lot of hair in the body, some no hair. Then some can study, some cannot study. Then some spiritually, very, very different, very beautiful. And most of them, their spiritual aspect is not there. They are lacking. But they have their own limited spiritual affinity and all those things. And their life are generally very good, very successful. Because they have this karmic affinity with my nature, and somehow they have a lot of condition for wholesomeness. That's why this life they are all beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. So you can see a lot of this. Then as I went to school, like I shared, I saw among my classmates, my village people, the community that I was with when I grew up, when I went to the uni, then when I came out to work, then when I understand more about our world through science, through technology, through the media, the TV, the media, especially TV broadcasts and all those things. Then also we have our internet. So our data now is very fast in its capacity. And we receive information very fast compared to maybe decades ago. Especially the last 30 years, we have seen tremendous growth in information technology, in our lifestyle and all those things, in the things that we do and we can understand. And the advance in all the field of communication, technology, even food. And our lifestyle has improved tremendously. And our economic well-being of the world has improved tremendously. But there were also negative influence and all those things. And to look at all these things with understanding, you need to have complete understanding of the five nature's law that governs life and existence. But the most dominant one is karma, law of karma. That's why this is the topic that we should discuss. Then coming back to the question by Brother Fong, I have discussed the DNA part. Now is the intention, is it? What about those actions that we do if there is no mental intention? Then is there any karma? He gave an example. You accidentally step on an ant or insect without knowing. So what do you think? How does karma operate in that sense? Because the Buddha mentioned very clearly, it is mental intention or cetana that he called karma. Without mental intention, there is no karma. So coming back to this question, what is your take? Now you all can try to answer them. What is your understanding? Maybe we get Fong to answer first. What is your take on this?
Push it up. I believe there is karma, but it's a different type of karma, maybe indirect karma. Why I quote this is because I've read some literature on Mahayana. So there, have you heard of Nagarjuna?
Yes. Lungsu Pusa. Yes.
So there was a case where a prince was trying to kill Nagarjuna. But he couldn't, even with a sword. So the sword will just go through the body. He can't kill. So he tried many times to kill Lungsu Pusa. He couldn't, even with a sword. It's like cutting through air. And in the end, Nagarjuna actually told him, the only way for you to kill me is to use the grass. Why? Because many eons ago, when he was cutting grass, a blade of the grass flew off and killed the insect. So if you really want to take my life, the only way is to use a grass.
To so kill
the prince
grass.
Took the grass and he killed Nagarjuna. So when I read the literature, I pondered over it. And I thought that was an instance of an indirect karma.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? In that sense, yes. Yeah. Very good. Oh.
So I thought I asked Brother Tim.
Can, no problem. Okay, good. So that aspect is a very good aspect of sharing. I'm not very sure whether it's in the Mahayana teaching or not, but based on what you have read it out, maybe it should be recorded somewhere. Nagarjuna actually not only appear in the Mahayana tradition, he also appear in the Theravada tradition. Nagarjuna, the word is always there. So what is important is the Buddha's what they call definition of karma. It is Chetana that I call karma. So that one is very powerful, very, very powerful. Because without mental intention, I use the word technically, there is no karma involved. But it is very difficult to have that condition, understand? Because if you look at your life activity as a human being, a lot of people, they will justify what they do. They got no intention, what? You understand? Sometimes like you scold that person, then because of what you did, then like Fong say, it caused indirect karma. Maybe after Kena scolding, that fellow actually reacted, and because of his high blood pressure or what, or karmic, he suddenly get a heart attack and he died. See, I got no intention of causing him heart attack. Correct? You understand? But your anger, you cannot control because too ignorant, too delusion, you arise them, understand? So the evil roots are there, understand? So the evil roots is the mental intention behind. Then like you say, it becomes indirect, understand? Because of your anger, because it's an evil root, it makes you evil. Then you do all this, then indirectly, that person has a heart attack and just died. Yeah. Or he becomes so angry, he became violent, he attacked you, and you say through self-defense, because you are more powerful, you kill him. So under this aspect, the law also, under the Judiciary Act, they say there are two types of murder. You heard of the two types of murder? One is murder. Means you have intention, you murder him. The other one is culpable homicide. They use the word not amounting to what? To murder, understand now? Culpable homicide. It's a homicide. I didn't kill him. I don't have intention to kill him, is it? So they can charge you under culpable homicide. I mean, it's still the death occur, understand? It's still a homicide. It's still a killing. But you don't have intention. Maybe initially it was self-defense, understand now? Like people break into your house. Then you have a gun. What you do? What you do? You are not supposed to do that. Even policemen also have to give you warning shot. Fire into the air. Give a warning shot. Just now I heard on the news, I tell you, you will laugh. There is Penang Sion, I think. There's one police officer, I think, quite senior. He went on the news. I think he managed to seize quite a lot of drugs, I think. The value is not that high, I think, worth about 300 over 1,000. Then he say they managed to get hold of don't know how many, they caught don't know how many, then got one of them escape. Then he was driving a car, that person. So they checked his IC and other things. Then somehow this guy escaped, just escape like that, Car also don't want to take leave. I see everything was there. Then they searched, got drug, got parang and all those things. And you know what the police officer said? He said our man actually gave him warning, fire the warning shot. But he continued to run. We cannot do anything. So I told my wife, what? No, what is the warning shot for? Warning shot is to warn. After he warned, if he don't listen to your warning, what you do? Shoot lah. He didn't know. He said his gun is for warning shot. He's not supposed to shoot. Cruel. I don't know. That was the greatest joke. Then like Philippines also same. You got the president. The president want to do away this underground drug king and all those things. So he told the police that I was a deputy prosecutor before DPP. Deputy public prosecutor means government side one. Prosecute all the criminal one. He said, forget about the law. I know, is it? I prosecute. They hire better lawyer. Then they won the case. Then sometimes I knew them with all the proof. They buy up the judges, is it? Also, he cannot prosecute them. So what he advised them is, yeah, I was with Alicia visiting Philippines. He took me there. Then his friend, the Filipino Teddy, he was very proud of his president Duterte. When Duterte came out, it was like Mahathir come out. Because he really, first time a Filipino elect a president with 90% of the voters' confidence in the world, means support of the people, 90% And you know his style, he really shoot to kill. And he told the police, you don't scare. If they break the law, we go by the rule of law. Kill them. If they break the law. Then the police officer asked back, what if they don't break? He said, if they don't break, then you cannot kill. But what he say is, if they resist, then kill them. Understand or not? If they don't resist, you have to go by the law. Correct or not? Because the rule of law apply. Don't resist, don't kill them. Put them in jail. But he told the police, he said, if they don't resist, make them resist. see? He very skillful. He said, make them resist. Make them resist means what? Jengku them, understand? Either make life difficult for them or what. But he said, don't break the law. Make them resist. If they resist, kill them. Then what is happen, he said, if they go to the court and the judge favor them, they will be in trouble, the police. You're supposed to fire a warning shot and all those things you didn't do. He said, you don't worry, I'm the president. I will give you amnesty. I will pardon you. I tell you, that was the greatest joke. So when you have people like that, you're also confused by what their action is. So what you think is the karma, like people like Duterte and all those things? What you think? He's a good man, correct, yes. Fantastic man, yes. I do agree with Chui, yes. Yeah, pass the mic to Chui, Pass the mic to Chui, He's a good guy, yes. And I will explain to you the mixed karma.
I think he's a wonderful man.
Yes.
He's a hero.
He's
a very brave man.
Yeah, very brave man.
Because the society is so bad,
you have to get
rid of all this
type of leader.
Worms and scumbags.
You need this type of leader.
Because if you don't,
you need this type of leader.
Everybody else will die.
Yes.
So in that sense, I don't think he deserves any bad karma. Maybe he might get a blade of grass being thrown at him.
Very good, very good. Yeah, so that is what Chui's understanding is, which is very good. You see, what is important is it's not for us to decide whether he got any karma or not, because the law of karma decides, understand? So according to Chui's, I don't think he deserves any karma, which is according to her, understand? But it's not for us to decide.
But the way we have to look at it is based on our understanding of the teaching, the Buddha's teaching. You see, for me, it's mental intention. Remember the word mental intention. If his intention is wholesome, means what?
Means what?
He killed not out of anger. No. He killed not because of selfishness. No. He definitely have intention to kill them, isn't it? True or not? Well, he said, if they don't resist, make them resist. Because to him, he's a DPP, he tried everything, like Mahathir said. I try to advise them to change the president of UMNO, they don't want. Then they try the vote of no confidence, also they don't want. They go to the Agong with all the what citizen declaration, also nothing happened. So what happened? He go by the rule of law. He joined the opposition. And then he make it happen. That's all. So what is important is you have to understand the intention behind. If his intention behind is like Chui say, he is a good man. He wants to solve society's problem. But like it or not, killing is still a killing. Understand or not? But because of the intention is so pure, he didn't do it out of hatred, out of anger, out of selfishness, and out of delusion. He did it out of good, pure intention to save the country, the society from such, like we use the word scumbag or what. These are people who destroy society. Understand? And I like to quote the saying from this Deng Xiaoping. Deng Xiaoping, you remember? People asked him last time how he managed to bring China out of that miserable state of communism into capitalism and into such great society and turn around China so beautifully. And he was father of modern China. And you know what he told the journalist? He said, I'm like you, blind. I also don't know. I also don't know what work and what don't work. But I rely on my instinct. Is it? I also have to try, feel. Is it? And I didn't know whether it worked or not. But it so happened, it worked. Is it? So what are the three things that he used? Is it? He said, San Ge Tian. An old man, a blind man, he said, 一个盲人, 有三个点, 就把中国拉起来. Those are the no mandarin, he said. One blind man, one blind old man, he said, with 3 points, 三个点, three important principle or point, he managed to pull China out of the problem and situation and make China great. And what are the three important points, he said? First, he said, he don't care whether it's a bai mao, hei mao. You know what is bai mao, hei mao? Whether it's a black cat or a white cat. 总之, 能够帮我做老鼠, 那就是好猫。 那个点我就要拿来用. So he don't care whether you are a white cat or a black cat, as long as you can catch the mice or the mouse or the rats, I will use you, he said. That is the first point, decision. That's why he go for meritocracy. If you can catch the rat, means what? The scumbag. Rat are the one that destroy your home, steal your thing, eat your thing, make thing disorder. So he said all this rat, he need all this cat to catch. So he don't want to worry about race and all those things. As long as you can catch them, he said, you are a good cat. And I said, 黑猫, 白猫, 总之能够帮我做老鼠的就是好猫. So that was the first principle he used. He said, 第一个重点. That's why he used meritocracy. He get good people, the scientists, everything to solve problem. Then the second point is, 第二个点哟, 脚步, oh, sorry, you say, 眼光, 要看远一点, you must have vision, you say. You must have vision. You must see further. Yeah. Vision means what? You must visualize how you can change the country, how you can improve the country, how you can build up the country, and what are the things that you can learn from other people. That's why they all investigate all the various democracy, the various type of countries' legislative system, whether it's communism, democracy, or what type of democracy, or a combination of what. Then they evolve their own and they come out with the best of both worlds. That's why they have this vision for China. That's why one country can have two systems. That's how they manage to bring about harmony and all those things. Then the third one is a 脚步要走快一点, means you must be diligent and hardworking. Understand? If you rest on your what? Laurel, then you will not catch up, understand? Like the tortoise and the rabbit. The rabbit thought he can take a nap, but finally the tortoise went ahead, understand? So he said, 脚步要跑快一点, means everything you do, you must be faster than the others, otherwise you lag behind. That's why he said, with this three things, he pulled China out of the 60s or the 70s. Actually, early 80s only he started to open up and try all these things. That's why he say, I'm a blind person. I don't know what is right and what is wrong. But what work is important, you see. Even though I'm blind, I will know what work. What are the things that work for the country? If I'm sincere, if I'm truthful, if I have this vision, if I have this understanding, I will be able to do it. So that's how, through all this understanding, law of karma, the mental intention is very important. If you got good leaders who are sincere, caring, loving, really work for the people and the country, like Mahathir say, no more working for self-interest. That's why is it the original aim of UMNO, no more, is it? So because of his principle, you see, he actually was able to pull our country out and created so much history. And really, as Malaysian, we really feel for the first time we can actually call ourselves Malaysian, put our head above, and we feel proud. So now, like Anna say, the whole world want to learn from Malaysia how we can get a 93 years old to lead us out of the whole mess, and yet peacefully gain the transition and turn things around so beautifully. So a lot of people want to learn without any bloodshed. I tell you, he's really spectacular. I salute him. And for his energy at this age, his ability to do it. But do you know he has this quality in him? He believes in the rule of law. He believes in the rule of law. And people interview him. He said, that's why during your time you also dictator. You also do all of that. He said, no, I didn't. He said. And he gave a good example. Have I ever stopped any people who want to challenge me from registering a political party? No, he said. I never use all these dirty tricks to stop you and all those things. He said, even Tunku Razali, he openly allowed him to set up and challenge him. He said he never tried to like take control of judiciary and all that. A lot of things he do, you realize he has certain principle behind and he has good intention actually to make the country better, to improve. Of course, initially it's about the race and their people and all that. Then later on, now he saw the new Malaysian entity is possible now. That's why he wants to do it for the second time that he was given the condition to do it. And this is the dawn of the new Malaysian entity, which you will see a lot of good things happening. Now, even from the social media or what, you see the reaction is so different from last time. Last time, the racial thing was so like intense. Everybody can feel it. It's going to erupt sooner or later if nothing changed, if the old government continues. But now, all of a sudden, you can see the moderate speaking out, voicing out, and willing to throw ideas and opinion to let the government know what is it that is in their mind and all those things. And a lot of these things, they believe, through proper discussion, through proper freedom of press, media, you bring about a more healthy country. Because all this is going to make the world better. You feel differently. You think differently. You are no longer racist, selfish, and all those things. So coming back to karma is the intention behind. Like I say, Duterte may have done a lot of things that you think comically is very bad, but he killed so many people. That's why end up he got into an argument with Obama, and he called Obama by that name. But Obama gone, he's still around. And what he did was actually very, very daring, like Jui said. He really dared to say out. And he tell all these drug king and all those things, the gangster, the underground, all those things, is it? He is willing to sit on the table and talk to you, is it? If you break the law, I will kill you. I will be after you. If you don't like me, tell me, is it? Then tell my people. If they agree I should step down, I will step down, is it? Yeah, he got 90% support. That's why he dared to say that. So he has the backing of the people. Like now Mahathir, they tune and he knew. He has the support of the rakyat. That's why Pakatan Harapan can do a lot of things because of that support. Yeah, Chui. Chui.
You told us once before there's such a thing called collective karma.
Yeah.
And so he is one great man and everybody stepped behind him.
Right
now, in the midst of all this, you've got the horrors coming up like the Anwar, the Azmin, all trying to have an UMNO 2.0.
And it may be that once,
Lim Guan Eng is getting the Malay support. They all love him. But you cannot tell. But maybe we will go back and we will be worse than UMNO.
That's why all this is evolving. Luckily you bring out this point, which is another good point for discussion. Because when you go for a type of changeover, do you know there are so many things to be done, like Tun M mentioned? There is so much work to be done. And you have to restructure a lot of things, reform a lot of things. Not only the economy restructure, you have to reform the institution, the separation of power. And in between, you have to confront what? Like what Chui say, different people with different ideas coming up. Understand?
Including the kings, which are really a very bad institution.
So all this,
they should go.
I look at it as a very good way, because better to bring all this up on us out so that it get resolved there and then, rather than last time. Last time, you know what they did or not? They suppressed everything. You cannot talk. When you talk, you speak. They use the law to go after you. Then they try to clamp you, the media. So now, I look at it as a better way. Because everything is being opened up. You speak. Like the rulers. He mentioned about the rulers. You know what happened? Not everybody support the ruler. if what they say is reasonable, they receive tremendous support. But what they say, if it's not reasonable, you can see the social media shooting them back. And this is very healthy, very good. Yeah. Then many things are happening, because even small thing that Pakatan did wrong, now the voice is loud enough, yeah, for you not to do all these things. So these are check and balance that has to evolve through time, through society. And what we are interested is in karma. Karma means what? Whatever you do, your mental intention is the basis behind. So whether it's direct, indirect, or what, mental intention is very important. If your mental intention is mostly wholesome, eh? Like the example I used to give, eh? Let's say a doctor, sincere, professional doctor, diagnose you with some disease. So normally, they will be very tactful. Those who want to make money from you, they will not tell lies. They will panic you. Yeah, biopsy result came out. You got cancer, very severe. Maybe third stage, fourth stage. You must follow what I advise you. You must do all this chemo. All money, understand? He speak the truth, understand? It's just like sometimes their son want to take over their inheritance and the whole thing. The son speak the truth. He say, hey, the doctor say you terminal, no, you got no much time left. No. You better do all the things that you're supposed to do. No. See? Speak the truth. But it hurts, understand? No? Because your intention behind is not sincere. But if the doctor, let's say, tell a white lie, yeah, and tell the patient, yeah, the result came out, yeah, not too good, but not too bad either. Understand? There are others that are worse than you. At least you say it that way, not so bad. No? Then sometimes you don't want them to panic or to have this fear, worry, anxiety, and all things. You say, the result came out. There could be some situation there, we also not very sure. There are some indication, but it can be otherwise because there are cases that happened before. Yeah? You should go for a second opinion, yeah? Or we should have a second test or whatever. Yeah. So you advise them in a manner where they can feel better. Then you can also say, oh, don't worry, even this is positive, there are many survivors around. People do survive. Yeah? And there are many things you can do. Yeah? You can work on all this alternative medicine or whatever. Or you can go through the normal chemo way and all those things. But the doctor had to explain to people, yeah, there are certain risks that come with certain type of treatment. Then the diagnosis itself is very important. So you do this in a very professional way, in a very, what they call, above board way, means you are sincere, you are professional in your approach, and you are actually trying your best to help your patient and all those things. Means you are very ethical. So this type of karma is very good. In future, when you come, when you have problem, disease or what, you won't end up seeing those doctors that want to cheat you and take advantage of you. You will meet up with doctors that are very kind, very sincere, very compassionate. And they will attend to you. So karma is this way. Mental intention behind is very important. Whatever you do. But the killing is the killing. That part you have to understand. But because your intention is so much pure in its intent, whatever you do, that killing is just killing one of the beings. Understand? But you don't have negativity of mind state, anger, hatred, or delusion to kill. It's just like a police officer. Yeah? There is a person who maybe go, they call what? A mock. Huh? A mock. Is it the correct word? Huh? When a mock means he doesn't know what he do. Like in US, he just shoot and kill people publicly. Or the IS people. So if you are a police officer on duty, you have to shoot to kill, isn't it? To bring him down, isn't it? But your intention is to save the public, understand not? To maintain public order and all those things, and to put this fellow under.
just like what I discussed with my wife, fire a warning shot first. Yeah, my wife say fire a warning shot first. If he don't listen, then don't shoot to kill. Shoot to wound. Like you say, wound the leg. When you shoot, he run, you think you can be that accurate? Then maybe you apply the Buddhist principle. I don't shoot to kill, you know. I don't have intention to kill. I want to harm you only. Actually, I aim at your leg. But because you run, then it hit your heart. More important is the intention behind. Understand now? So karma, for me, is very simple. If I have this understanding of what constitutes evil, and if I know this nature's law, that it will come back and haunt your nature, then with that wisdom and understanding, avoid all the evil. Means the mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process of what you do in life, your livelihood or your right living, you have to have this understanding, the right view, not to violate all this, not to cause misery, harm and all those things, but to bring down a person for the good of the many with a good intention is no problem. Like a judge, last time they used to discuss this, if the judge sentenced the person to death, life sentence or death sentence for drugs or whatever, is it a killing? Did the judge commit karma? He sentenced you to death, death sentence. Huh? Are you sure? You remember the executioner? His duty, understand? His job. Huh? Saya yang menurut perintah. Because the judiciary is independent. The law say you murder, you kill, or you are involved with drug, it's a death sentence. So he has to sentence. But he got no intention to kill. Understand? His duty is to sentence. But if you selfish, you through corruption, work for the politician to sentence, and then it's coming, understand not? That's how it's mental intention. If the judge is what they call honest, sincere, and he deliver that judgment based on law, there is no karma. Because he got no intention to kill with negativity or something. He cannot be emotional in the eye of the law, you know that? He has to go by the law, like Matthew say, rule of law. Understand not? He cannot prosecute you means he cannot prosecute. He will tell the prosecutor, you got not enough evidence. And this case is going to be free. He's going to free him. Yeah. But ours is not the judiciary system where there is this jury involved and all those things. Most of the time is the high court judge decide. Judiciary system now is less frequent. I think still practice in certain type of court, but less. Not in Malaysia anymore. It's very troublesome to get even jury, you know. Sometimes a lot of conflict of interest, but jury also can buy on, and all these things. So karma is a very wide field, actually. And what I want you to understand is that don't be panicked because of the word karma. A lot of people used to tell me when they go for a retreat and all, "Ayo, die already lah. I killed the ant, no. I didn't know underneath the dry leaf got ant, no." Why Queenie laugh as if it's very familiar? Queenie, you heard of this before? Oh no. It's very interesting. Then some of them tell me, "Ayo, I got this dirty thought, no. In the retreat, no. I got this dirty thought, no." He said, "Don't know whether got karma or not." Well, that also can. Then sometimes he say,
Ayo, so much craving, no. Your last day already, what? Thinking of char kway teow and all those things already. Ayo, come for retreat, ah. Still got so much craving, no. How, ah? They come and talk to me, you know. That was a long time ago. Then a lot of them worry about this, worry about that. Actually, not supposed to lie, you know. But I don't know why I lie, you know. I don't know why I lie. Got such thing. Queenie laugh. I like Queenie's laugh. You see, a lot of these ayaman, they might telling you, justifying all these things. You know. What you must understand is, the Dhamma is to be understood. Law of karma is to be understood. When you understand, you will know how to act. Whatever happened already, means happened already, why go and remorse and go and worry about it, understand or not? If you don't have intention, means you don't have intention. We are under the breaking of precepts. Breaking of precepts. There are five conditions for you to really break a precept of killing or causing harm to fellow living being. What are the five conditions? Later on you will study it in the text. The first condition is what? Mental intention to kill. Understand or not? Yeah. Then, after that, there is a mental intention to kill. The action. Understand? There must be this action. Means, after you have the intention to kill, then you acted out of it. Understand? Then, third one is what? There must be a being for you to kill first. Understand? Then, the fourth one? Actual killing. Understand? After all these are fulfilled, then you break. Yeah. The fifth one, I don't know. Check the time. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The mind. Yeah.
We all read.
Yeah.
And there's a man called Peter Sondag.
Remember
him? But yeah, Peter Sondag, take the case of St. Regis Hotel in Datai area. I don't know how many millions that cost. The Ministry of Finance owns, supposedly, they paid up all the money. The man only put in 10%. The government put in 90%. Our government. And he got 40% of the shares.
Oh.
So if he does that, is it his good karma that he received because some idiot gave him, you know, 90%?
It's not so simple like what people think. It's a lot of things involved. There could be past causes and condition behind and all those things. Then the condition now and all the political thing, we only come to know and we base it on the perspective of what we know. But behind could be a lot of things. Understand?
But this is not the only instance.
Yeah.
The other one was how they rape the Felders
in the eagle plantations.
Where he got $1 billion out of it.
Yeah.
And then the whole loss went into
Malaysia. Yeah, yeah.
Is it our bad karma that our people got stuffed and then he walks away?
Okay.
Let us discuss it.
What do you think? What do you think? Do you think it's your bad karma?
If I were him, I'd say, hey, I'm very smart. I got everything. I didn't kill anybody. Those idiots want to give to me. All I could do is get my plane ready. If he can board it, he's welcome to it. He leaves the country, he goes to Kazakhstan.
Okay.
I think that's very good.
Okay, so we hear the point from Chui. Do you realize one thing she didn't mention or not? The mental intention behind. You realize or not? But it's the mental intention behind that the Buddha called karma. So you zero on that, then you will understand better. Understand or not?
His mental intention was, I will make sure there's a plane there for you. whether in Langkawi or in the Sky Park, Subang Jaya. But if you cannot get on it, it's nothing to do with me.
Oh, okay.
I will give it to you.
Okay.
That's the so extent what, of my trade-off.
What is the mental so intention
behind? The intention was, I will help you escape if you can do it.
I help you, you help me.
Yeah. But only if that, if this other lot can free themselves.
Okay, for your this case, I think I can help you to understand better. Because before this deal was done, there were other reasons behind. You think that N guy, you know who is the N guy, or the MOI, no, the MO1, you think the MO1 is so stupid? He sure know what he wants, understand? And all this is, you scratch me, I scratch you, which I believe so, behind the scene. But you don't know what is behind the scene. Where could people go and sign a contract like what the Ministry of Finance came to know, the two gas pipeline, pay by time base, means completion, contract period completion, not by fiscal work completion. Where got such contract on? You got such contract, all the government bankrupt already, I tell you. So the mental intention behind is very important. All these people who want to cheat, who wants to selfishly benefit out of this, like Mahathir said, Tun M said, this is kleptocracy of the highest order, like the Department of Justice of U.S. said. They treat this like their personal account, understand? Taking, withdrawing, and using to buy things all over the world and stretch over how many countries is all in there. So the mental intention is very clear. It's about stealing. Understand? That's why Tun M, during the campaign, you remember, he dared to use the word, the Malay word, so strong. Penyanga, pencuri, and all those things. And who will use such strong words? Because he know this is what is happening. That's why he was so really, really frustrated.
To use the rule of law, you cannot catch people's conduct for changing money.
There's no rule. Oh, can. Chui, you don't understand one part of law. No. You don't understand one aspect of law. How many of you are lawyers?
None.
I think accountant also got study a bit. The law of contract. You got study, no? Law of contract. Law of talk. T-O-R-T.
Law of contract.
No law of talk. T-O-R-T. Sure got one. As engineer also, I study. You don't study. How can? Yeah. You got taxation. You got law of contract. You got commercial contract, you got engineering contract, you got don't know what type of contract, civil contract, contract law. And you know, the law of contract is very clear. Willing buyer and willing seller completes the contract. But there is such a thing as an illegal contract. Understand? Illegality of contract. When there is an element of illegality, the whole contract is void. They call it illegality of contract. But if they can prove that there is cheat, understand? That this contract is signed in a way that is illegal, means corrupt practice and all those things. If they can prove that, then that contract becomes void, understand? Because it's to cheat, to deceive. Or under duress. So, like he said, the what the Taiwan or what Tai, Santa, that one you can prove, like the gas pipeline, that there is illegal corrupt practice behind, that contract become illegal. Illegality of contract. I mean, it's not a legal binding contract, but it was corruption underneath counter. Then the whole thing is void. No need to honor those type of contract. That's why the rule of law apply. You can get them back. You can get them back. You're supposed to get them back in whatever way. They call it now AMLA, Anti-Money Laundering Act. No matter where you launder, yeah, they can confiscate now. All the government of the world. Confiscate first. Freeze first. Unless they use Bitcoin. Yeah. Bitcoin also not safe now today. Came out. That's why Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, also collapsed today. Yeah, because that very famous guy, authority on cryptocurrency, he said, cryptocurrency is not safe enough, not tight enough, he said. It consumes too much energy, he said. Then it is not foolproof, he said. So, too much gray area, he said. And it will not be the currency to take over from central bank and all those things. The moment he said that, the cryptocurrency went down again. And now it's very low, no? Very low. It hit a peak of 19,000 plus, almost 20,000. Now it's how much? Very low. Yeah, was always very low. Yeah. Anyway, we come back to mental intention. Huh? Karma is very important. So regarding all this, it's related to karma. A lot of things are related to karma. So you have to remember, when you understand the Dhamma, you apply the Dhamma, maintain righteousness. You know what that word is, huh? Righteousness of conduct. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sango. Then ujupatipanno, righteous conduct, of good conduct, of righteous conduct, of wise conduct, of dutiful conduct. Do your duty. Be wise. Have good mental intention. Be righteous. Never cave in. Never get kowtowed by people. Understand? Or kowtowed people. Never do that. They like to call themselves KT. KT construction. Kowtowed one. Everything also KT one. Can kowtowed one. You want to count him, you go and look for KT Construction or KT Consultant. KT Consultant. I heard of one KTA Consultant, but KT haven't. Last time our lecturer, very funny, he liked to give example on KT Construction. The moment we saw the word KT Consultant, well, everybody laughed, all contractor, everybody laughed. Then they ask this question, no? Why the English word? You see, the English language is very strange. No? I don't know whether that guy who formulated it was a consultant or a contractor. You know, this word, consultant, contractor, all these are con men, no? From the word con. No, no? Understand? That's why it's tied with the word con. No? That's why they call you a consultant, no? Then you're a contractor, no? All the words start with con, no? You better be careful. Yeah. He say a consultant is a person who con, insult, and cheat. Not all consultants are there. There are some very professional. So you see, no matter what profession you are in, if you don't have sincerity, righteousness, and wisdom, you should break karma, I tell you. You are professional people, consultant, or even lawyers, accountants, engineers, doctors. We got code of ethics in there. Professional code of ethics in there. You're supposed to be very professional. You're supposed to follow the ethics in there. You know what we engineers say? Ethics are for the birds. B-I-R-D-S. You know what are birds? Birds, you talk ethics. Got fruits, everybody whack one.
who go first get the biggest one. But where got talk about ethic? Ethic means we don't undercut each person. That tree belong to which bird? Let that bird take. You think the bird behave this way? Whoever see, all the bird will flock into that tree. And finish until no more, then they go to the next tree. That's why the ethic is for the birds. But you need certain type of ethical, what they call guideline. I call it guideline. Guideline fall back to mental intention, I realize. And it's your moral principle, your moral mental intention behind everything you do. So to me, the code of ethics should be changed. They should change the word code of ethics. It's no more about ethics. It's about being a kind, honest, and sincere person. Understand? In whatever field you want to be in. It's not about ethics anymore. But ethics, you can bend the ethics. You can go circumvent the ethics. Understand? To suit your personal self-interest and all those things. If you are sincere, you don't need ethics. Understand? Do you understand? If I am honest, I am sincere, I am being professional in my approach to think, I'm not selfish. I don't have this intention to deceive and to cheat. Then I will be a good professional person. I will do my thing correctly, righteously, appropriately. That's why mental intention, karma, is very important. If you don't have this understood, whatever you do in life, you will fail miserably. You will get yourself into trouble. That's why the Buddhist teaching is so beautiful. So law of karma is what I want to share with you, is not to create fear in yourself. It's to develop the understanding and work towards it. Means work towards such understanding so that you are not afflicted by this law of karma. So that the law of karma will favor you, will give you all the blessing, protection, guidance and all those things. Today maybe we don't have time to discuss all those things that the Buddha shared. Next Tuesday we get PG to share that. Then after that we can have another round. This time you can bring up. Yeah? No more indirect and direct karma, the one I explained a bit already. So it's nothing really to do with what they call the law of karma, because most of it is your mental intention that you are not clear. You always try to justify it. I don't intend to do all those things. If I know that there is such and such a thing, I would not have done it. Understand? It's just like the bank robber robbed the bank with a firearm, then kena death sentence. Or the drug addict that get involved with drug. If I know it's death sentence, I wouldn't use a real gun. Does that help you? No, it doesn't help. Whether real gun or firearm is firearm, is it? Not necessarily real or unreal, is it? That ignorance of the law is not bliss. No? You understand? Ignorance of the law is the law. It's like live wire. You cannot go and tell the live wire, hey, I'm a virtuous person. No, I keep my preset one. No? I touch, you don't electrocute me. No? They got such thing. He doesn't have any knowing. Understand? It's a nature's law. This is physical law. This has nothing to do with law of karma. So you cannot apply law of karma using your moral virtue against that physical thing. Understand? That's why you have to have all this understanding. So the live wire is a live wire. Whether you virtuous or not virtuous, if you don't protect yourself, they will electrocute you, like the rule of law. So a lot of things you need to understand it through the teaching. The teaching is very comprehensive.
And the Buddha mentioned it very clearly. If you want to improve your life, if you want to make your life better, you have to take care of karma. When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Because the Buddha said it in very, very clear terms. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So I always check back through mindfulness, heedfulness during the early day of my cultivation. What is my mental intention? Why do I make this decision? Is it for me or not for me? Is it for the good of the many? Then I realize that all the things that I do after I understand the Dhamma is no more about the me, the I, the ego, no more. That's why I used to tell my wife, people come and see me, they all are not related to me. They don't know me, and yet I have anasara. Some, my friend or what, or even my relative or what, if there is no condition, my nature cannot do anything. It cannot manifest. I cannot like want to help. Cannot. Understand? That's why this is the stages. These are the stages that you will go through as you cultivate. Everything is dependent originating, condition arising. Depending on condition it arises. That's why there must be affinity. There must be karmic affinity, conditioning. You must plant the seed of wholesomeness, goodness. Then only this can unfold. That's why it's a continuation. It's not this life, or next life, or previous life. No, all continue. They continue to unfold, and they interact. From the past to the present to the future, they continue to evolve, interact. That's why karma is a very wide topic, and it doesn't only limit to your own self. You are very minute, nothing, compared to the universe. We are only one of the 6-7 billion on this planet Earth, and this is only human being. The non-human, the animals, the plants, the other type of life, they are so much more that you can't even see them. And this is only our planet. And our planet is only one of the miserable planets in front of the star. And the star is only, our sun is only one of the miserable minute potential stars. And they are countless in the heavens, in the universe. And there are such things as galaxy, Milky Way, star system, world system, and so immense. Billions and billions and billions of light years, yet you cannot see them. Traveling at the speed of light for billions of years, yet the boundary is not known. You know how immense the universe is, you know? The law of karma and all those things. And all these are so immense. And if you look at it from your minute personal self-interest point of view, you have been deluded, really deluded. You can't see the big picture, the overall. That's why Dhamma, when you understand, is very beautiful. It will unfold. It has this capacity to let you understand such immense things. That's why when I was very young, I remember, I was from 3 or 4, I like to look at the sky, the heaven, the star. Then I always inquire, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? I always have this question. And I like to be alone, looking at the stars, gazing at the stars, and ponder deep into life. Then I only know one thing at that age. I need to meditate to understand all this. Very funny, you know, that I don't even know what meditation is. Okay? We better end, 10:30 already. Ah, yes. Ah, okay. Ah, Nirvana. No problem.
Brother, 其实这个 question 很久以前有人问过，他的家很多蚂蚁。
然后他就讲我要放生，然后他就把那个蚂蚁从窗口丢出去。然后你，Brother，你认为怎样呢？ Okay, there are a few ways to deal with all this. Because these are what they call pests. Sometimes not only ants. Sometimes could be termites or other type of pests. Sometimes could be rodents, cockroach or rats and all those things. Sometimes could be snake. Have you encountered a snake or not? During the olden days, very common on your house got snake go through one. A monitor is another thing. Then sometimes you got friends, you don't know, above your ceiling and all those things. So you see, what you can do is, if you have metta, loving kindness, you can actually radiate to them and it works. But you must have faith, understand? Then you talk to them. You say, I hope you can find another place which is a better home for you, understand or not? May you be well and happy, because if you come here and do all this, there's a danger that you can die and you can be killed. So what you can do is you try all this first, then you keep your place clean. I realize ants come because of sugar and all those things, and you don't keep your place clean. That's why they find themselves into these places. They call it their conducive habitat. So radiating metta can really work. Then the other one is to keep your place clean. If it's really a problem, a nuisance, then there are people who are willing to do this for you for a fee, understand? But you can tell them, I don't want you to poison them. These are called pest control people. They choose this livelihood where they help you clear all these things. So you say, I will hire you to clear them. But can you agree with me, no poison involved? Because it's also dangerous to you if they use poison. But sometimes if you ask them to deal with termite, they have to inject this thing in, which is very poisonous. Even termite also go away. So you have to understand. Then sometimes they use bathing. They bathe, understand? Bathe. Then they like food like that, put there for them to eat. Then pass it back, the food, to the mother. The mother is the queen. Once the queen dies, the whole nest dies. That's how pest control people deal with it. So they will do all this. So don't worry, because karma-wise is very little, because you don't have mental intention. And people who are willing to take this job as a livelihood, they do this work. So you hire them, but you tell them, I don't want you to poison them or kill them. Please help me to clear them, get rid of them. So these are the few ways you can do. So don't worry about it. Sometimes I remember this in the early days. I don't know why, since young, when there's an ant that fall into the muck, the condensed milk, I felt so bad, and I want to save the ant, and I save so many. Then sometimes, like insect or what, they can our water, their wing, wet, cannot fly, then get entangled inside there. I remember Anandagiri many years back. And I used to have this experience. Anandagiri there were these flies. Not that many, but I think there were a few, because I think when the weather is cold or what, the one with the transparent wing on a very long one, this is our insect, they're there. Then I saw one of them got trapped inside, Then I can feel, he's struggling. Then I get a tissue, then I quietly take it out. And you know what happened? That fly, although panicked, he can sense my nature and what I do. After he free, he flew to my hand. And he refused to move away from my hand. He know I won't harm him. Then after that, I say, okay, you can go. Then he goes. I let the tissue clean it up. They can feel you because your vibration is different. Your metta is different. That's why a lot of people, when they are near me, they feel very safe or not. They feel they can trust me or not. Even my classmate told me. He said, I don't know why, is it? I don't trust people on, is it? But when in front of you, I can trust you. And not only he say that, no. Almost all my other classmates, when the wife don't let them go out, you know what they say? Oh, meeting up with Brother Teo. And when they say they come and meet me out, the wife very fong someone. go. You go somewhere else, they question you. Why every day you have to go there? Very funny, you know. That's what I realized. They always say, you say go out with Brother Tiwa, very safe one. The wife always agree. Then some even say, tell the husband, like my physics teacher, the wife say, I think you better go Brother Tiwa's class more often. Because he saw him change. He no more like last time, no. And now he's so sensitive, he treat the wife so well, talk to the wife nicely, and become so different. That's why they feel very good. Say, I think it's good. You better go. Go, Brother Teo, there more often. Initially, for those who don't know me, they may not understand. Then they are scared to let the wife come. Understand? Then later on, even Thursday class there, got one. I tell you, object until cannot come or no. Then why you got to choose? Either Brother Teo's class or we divorce. So serious. And finally, nothing happened. Come back to the class some more. Initially, it was very serious. But later on, he realized, not only nothing happened, the wife become better, understand? More loving, more caring, more understanding. No more like what people fear. Because they scared is cow and all those things. Understand? And I used to joke with people, a lot of lady come to my class one. And most of them not married one last time. Now I'm mostly married. Last time, most of them not married. My wife also, and they say, what they call? They scared it's cow. They thought it's cow. Then later on, they realize everyone that come becomes so different and so beautiful. They become like changed person. Then even those depression and all those things, very funny character, one all turn around. That's why it become different. Okay? Yeah, sadhu. We better end. Sadhu. Okay, let us do our usual closing puja. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will share this wholesomeness with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa jarang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata ca amihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu. Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
观音菩萨 and other worthy ones.